We tried it at 7 o'clock, which is good, but today I just honestly felt led by the Lord to go ahead and talk to the Lord at 12 today. You got your Bible. Turn to Proverbs chapter 3. Just hold on for a minute because I'm not going to go there yet. There's something I couldn't wait to do. One thing I got to do is get the praise and worship on and put the sermon up. That would help. Let's see. Come on. Y'all remember I told you there's four stages of man. The first stage, he believes in Santa Claus. The second stage, he doesn't believe in Santa Claus. The third stage, he is Santa Claus. And the fourth stage, he looks like Santa Claus. I couldn't wait. I still got a picture of both Santa Clauses we've had lately. Put them both there. You know, if y'all could have had both suits on with your arms around each other, that would have been awesome. Amen. God is so awesome. All the time, God is awesome. Amen. So I want you to keep a seat for just a moment. I'll call you up. I'll call. Get your stamp in just a minute. I'll read it. Now, I want to talk to you. I've talked to you like this before, but this is entirely different. Entirely 100% different. But again, it's something that just stays on my heart. It stays on my mind. And especially since I've been going to school, I've decided going to school and going, I've been going to school and now going to all these psychology classes and all these pastoral ministry classes, I've decided that I'm ignorant. Some of y'all had already decided that ahead of time, but now I'm joining in with you. But at the same time, in order to get this accomplished, I had to do more than a resolution. I had to have a revolution in me in order to get through it. And the same way, in order for us to get in this new year, I believe that we haven't even touched the surface of what this church is going to do and where it's going to be next year. Next year, this time, I believe it's going to be packed out. I believe the Lord showed me that it's the last time we're going to see it this low, that it's getting ready to do something very powerful. It's getting ready to do something. He's getting ready to do something very powerful in it, and I thank him for what he is going to be doing in it. But again, we have to believe. Before we can see it here, we got to see it here. Always. With anything with God. With the world, you see it here before you can see it here. But with God, you got to see it here before you see it here. And so here it is, you know. A New Year's revolution. Not resolution. A revolution. And we'll talk about that in a minute. But let me just show you some New Year's revolution's gone wrong. Anybody ever gone wrong on your resolution? How many kept your resolutions from last year? I did. They're right here. Let's see. Well, look at watch this. Last year this time, some of you were saying, because I heard you. I said it too. You were saying, this year's going to be different. I'm actually going to change. How many said that? You ain't got to raise your hand, but just think about it. I'm actually going to change. Look, I'm going to be a better spouse. I'm going to spend more time with my family. I'm going to spend more time reading my Bible. I'm going to spend more time praying. I'm going to spend more time serving others. This year, I'm going to get my ducks in a row. Now you can raise your hands. By a simple show of hands, how many kept all of your New Year's resolutions? No hands? None? Kind of, sort of, maybe? Yeah. Yeah. I did a few nosedives, and I did some high on the mountain, but sometimes I seem to come down off that mountain pretty quick. Matter of fact, I think I hit a couple of cliffs and went down. Okay, so here we are. We're here we are again. It's at the first of the year. Now, I did some studying on New Year's resolutions, and of course, some of the top resolutions is I'm going to quit smoking. I'm going to start eating right. I'm going to start exercising. The number one resolution. How many know what the number one? How many can guess what the number one New Year's resolution is across the board? Number one resolution. Lose weight. That's the number one. These weight companies are having them a ball right now. You want to lose weight for Christmas? Now you want to lose weight for New Year's? You want to get rid of the holiday fat that you put on? Well, the best way to keep from getting holiday fat is don't put it on at holiday. Eat like you got some sense of the holiday, too. I can still sample all the food. My daddy said, son, aren't you going to eat? I said, I just ate. He said, but you didn't eat. I said, Daddy, I just ate collards, pigtails, I ate dumplings and collards. I ate the dumplings and the potatoes, and I ate stuff, and I ate all of that. He said, I didn't see you eat. I said, that's because you never picked your head up to see. I said, I ate one plate, and I put it down. And I did not gain any weight over the Christmas holidays. Again, it's all got to do with discipline anyway. So here we are. So now watch this now. This is so awesome. This thing here will work again. Here we go again. Praise God. There we go. Come on up here, buddy. Do it right. You can do it. You can do it. There you go. New Year's resolutions. I did a study, again, across the board. New Year's resolutions basically fall into three major categories. Did you know that? There's all kinds of resolutions. I'm going to spend more time with God. I'm going to spend more time with my kids. I'm going to blah, blah, blah. But if you put it all together and you put them in a pot and you take them out and you put them in categories, basically three categories. And here it is. They deal with, number one, things that make you look better and live longer. Things that make us have more. Things that help us get along with everyone. That's it. If you want to think about it, all the resolutions, you can put them all together. You say, well, how can you talk about all the resolutions? There they are. Things that make us look better and live longer. Exercise. Things that make us have more. I'm going to have more of God this year. I'm going to have more at work this year. I'm going to take more time. So again, it's things that make us have more and things that help us get along. I'm going to learn how to keep my mouth shut. That's one I've never learned. Amen. I'm going to learn how to speak up when I should, blah, blah, blah. I'm going to learn better relationship skills. You know, and I can tell you what, if you come here on Sunday, usually just about every Sunday, there's some kind of relationship skill being taught every Sunday and even on Tuesday nights. There are relationship skills always mixed in with the sermon. So again, watch this. If you want to look at all this and you want to put these biblically in perspective, here it is, longevity. Prosperity and peace. If you want to look at biblically what we just talked about, the three categories, here it is. Biblically speaking, here's the three categories: longevity, prosperity, and peace. Every last one of us could use some longevity. Amen. You know, I was just talking with a friend of mine yesterday, and I think I have buried five of my classmates. Five. I got a call yesterday. I was Linda's car. The battery had died. And so I was at O'Reilly's trying to get a car battery. And while I'm trying to get my car battery, I get a call from one of my cousins. And he says, hey, cuz. I said, what? He says, I need your help. I said, anything you need, you let me know. He said, Mama's dying. I said, okay. What do you need me to do? And he says, I need you to get ready so when she dies, you can do her funeral. And I said, well, what about now? And he said, well, she's in hospice care. She's out of palliative care in Greenwood. Says she may not last a week out. And I'm not sure she even know if you went to see her, but you can go if you want. Well, I went home last night and told my wife, and she said, oh, that's sad. We prayed for her. And then I hadn't sat down 10 minutes, and I get another text, Mama died. So again, longevity. No matter how long you live, everybody would love to have one more day. Amen. I want to be with God. I'm going to tell you, I can't wait to get to heaven. The older I get, the more I can't wait to get to heaven. But at the same time, I know if my time was coming, I'd want one more day. Amen? Because there's always something you want to get done, something you want to change or whatever. But, and then, prosperity. Look. It ain't fun not being able to take care of yourself. It's not fun. And all of us at time to time have had to have somebody help us. And we need to be willing to help somebody else at any time. But also not just prosperity or the ability to take care of myself, but then just peace. Elvis. I was listening to a thing on the radio the other day, and it started talking about the top songs or the top singers that had, it talked about how many remember 45s? Okay, 45s used to, y'all that don't know what the dinosaurs, let me tell you about the dinosaurs. Y'all got CDs and MP3 players and all of this, and you stream it live and stream it live. We bought 45s. There was an A side and a B side. Usually the A side was something popular. The B side was just something they threw up there. And so it's even like Gene Autry. When Gene Autry did this one song, there was one song Gene Autry was in the summer. Gene Autry was trying to finish up his Christmas album. He was doing it in the summertime, and there was a B-side. There was one room for one more B-side song. It was the album, though. It was the whole album, not just the A and B. But it was a B-side song, meaning it was not even considered even to be worthy to put out there other than just to fill some space. He has room for one more song. His wife calls him and says, "Honey, I need you to record this song." He said, "Dear, I don't like that song. We're not going to record it." She said, "You promised me that you would record this song." He said, "Okay, we've got time in the studio for one take." One take. One. No backups, no do-overs, one take. He said, "If we can do it in one take, I'll put it on the album." She says, "Okay." So he did it in one take. It was a B-side song. It became the second most requested Christmas song of all times. Next, The White Christmas, which is number one. Guess what number two? I'm talking about secular songs. Number two, guess what the second song, entire song of all times for Christmas is? Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. Yeah. Okay. So look at these A-sides and the B-sides. And, of course, Chubby Checker was the record holder until the Beatles come along. The Beatles, they had like 15, both sides. We're top tens. Both sides, A and B, were top tens. Guess who had the most top tens on both sides, A and B? They had 23 to 25 top tens off of both sides of the record, which is unheard of. Elvis. Guess who one of the most miserable men in the world was? Elvis. When you ask Elvis if he could do something besides sing, you know what they ask him? He was Assembly of God. They ask him, if he could do anything besides sing, what would he want to do? You know what he said? Preach. He was miserable. When I was a disc jockey at the radio station on his birthday, for the two-hour show that I had, it was gospel music, I played all Elvis gospel music. You know, for 2 hours straight, I played Elvis gospel and never played the same song twice. He was miserable because although he had all that fortune, all that fame, all that money, anything he wanted, what he wanted most was peace with God that he didn't have. So now, longevity, prosperity, and peace. But in order for us, our resolutions, in order for what we want to do in this year to come up, in order for it to affect our lives, we have to move from resolutions, which is nothing more than mere thoughts. And many times a resolution is nothing more than wishful thinking. A resolution, you know what I heard about resolutions? They go in 1 year and go out the next. All right. So resolutions are thoughts. But now a revolution is an attitude. It's kind of like this. I tell people this all the time. Your emotions, if you go ahead and look in water, and God says, he calls, the psalmist says, the deep's calling unto the deep. Jesus said when his men couldn't catch any fish in Luke, in the fifth chapter of Luke, he goes, cast your net on the other side. He said, and let down your nets deep, cast out into the deep for a draught. They wanted to cast out shallow. He said, cast out deep if you want to catch any fish. Okay, watch this. Your thoughts, many times, just thoughts. Watch this. If you look at water, the thoughts are on the top of the water, and they are just like this. They bob up and down. They move back and forth. When the wind blows, they go one way. When the wind shifts, it goes another way. You get a wake from a boat, it goes one way. When you, whatever, because it's on the top, the surface. That's your thoughts. But when you look at commitment, commitment's deep. You know, once you get certain depth of water, it doesn't matter about the waves. It doesn't matter about the wakes. It doesn't matter about the weather. It doesn't matter about anything, because once you get deep enough in that water, none of the surface stuff matters anymore. It cannot affect you. So now, thoughts are usually surface, and they're like the waves can toss them to and fro. But now, an attitude or commitment is deep, and it's in the still water. it'll stand strong when nothing else, when everything else is being shaken all to pieces, your attitude and your commitment can stand strong. And so, in order to have something for this new year coming up, we don't want resolutions because they're thoughts. We want attitudes and commitment. That's revolution. That's something, a revolution is whatever it takes. When you see resolution is, well, here's a good plan, but revolution is whatever it takes, we're going to get it done. Now, how many have had resolutions and had the same resolution year after year and still never saw it through usually the first week or two? You know, when we go to the gym, you ought to watch the gym out there behind the hospital. I got to that gym. About November, you can go out there and you can throw a dead cat through the place and not hit anybody. But you know what? Starting this week, when you go out there, you have to fight to find a machine. Because everybody's got, I'm going to lose weight, I'm going to exercise, I'm going to get healthy again. And about 3 weeks down the road, maybe four, it'll start dwindling off. And by Easter time, you can throw a dead cat across this thing and not hit anybody again. Because it's a short-lived thing. Your thoughts are short-lived. But commitment is strong, and it stays strong in your attitude. So now y'all can sit right there. We're going to read this. I'm going to read it to you, but I'll put it out there so you can see it too. Proverbs chapter 3, and we're only going to do the first five. There's 10. Proverbs chapter 3 is a very awesome book. If we could take Proverbs chapter 3 and read it on a daily basis, or at least read it on a weekly basis, and try to do what Proverbs chapter 3 says, it's amazing what could happen in our lives. It's amazing the transformation that can happen in Proverbs chapter 3. So watch this. My son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments for length of days and long life and peace. Wow. That's what it's asking for. We just had that. Longevity, prosperity, and peace. Wow. Do you know God wants you to have longevity, prosperity, and peace? So watch. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them around thy neck. Write them upon the table of thine heart, so thou shalt find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. I don't want just favor in the sight of God. I want favor in the sight of man. And I don't want just favor in the sight of man. I want favor in the sight of God. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not to thy own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Be not wise in thy own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. It shall be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones. Honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. My son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, neither be weary of his correction. For whom the Lord loveth, he correcteth, even as a father the son in whom he delighteth. Now, this is just the first five. Next week, we're going to do the next five. But this is just the first five. And so I'm going to kind of, I promise not to go too long, but I got 45 minutes. Unless somebody, if I get through, we can go up here and, you know, we can tell some resolutions. All right, ready? Revolutions. Watch this. Revolution number one. Get ready. Here you go. See? Start a New Year's resolution. Revolution. Ready? Get ready. Attitude or revolution or attitude. Y'all say attitude is revolution. Say it. Do you know a lot of times I can tell if I'm going to have a good conversation with you before you ever get to me? You know why? Because, and me too, do you know that usually where you go, your attitude precedes you. And a skillful person, a person that's got any amount of discernment whatsoever, can discern your attitude long before you get to them. And if they can't, even if they have a hard time discerning your attitude by the time you get to them, all you got to do is open your mouth. And your attitude will go before you, and it'll show people how to handle you that day. Okay, there are certain people when I was at Fountain. I could tell when I saw them, okay, this is not going to be a good day. I better not talk to them about this today because this day I'll get the wrong answer. And you know what? I hate to think that when people got around me, they had to walk on eggshells because they never knew how my attitude was going to be. Think about that for yourself. Do you want people to have to walk on eggshells around you? If you don't, then ask God to help you stay on an even keel down deep, where the waves don't affect you. If you stay up top, you'll never know what you got, depending on what's happening. So first, let love and faithfulness never leave you. He said it, let love and faithfulness never leave you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on a tablet in your heart. Then you will win favor and a good name in the sight of God. And man, wow. So here it is. Here it is. Love and faithfulness. He's saying, very first thing he's talking about is I want these two qualities to be your guiding light in life. This is going to be your foundation for the rest of them. If you can't get love and faithfulness in the front, then there's no place for love and faithfulness in the back. It's got to be in the front in order for you to carry out the rest of this. If you ain't got this going, then the rest of it's going to be a drudgery. If you ain't got this going, then the rest of it's going to be hard to handle. If you don't have this going, it's going to really have a rough time. So love and faithfulness. Now, so what's the definition of love here? All right, here it is. It's more than feelings. It's more than chemistry. It is, simply, think about this as love. A man with nails in his hands. That's the kind of love it's talking about. It's talking about an active love, a love that reaches out to others, a love that does for others, a love that does for others without thinking twice about it. That kind of love. Now, let me ask you a question. When you come up with somebody and you see them in need, or you come up with somebody, I'm not talking about this crazy mess going on around here now. Every stoplight's got a certain person sitting at each stoplight, and they got them all taken out and walk Greenville for you to stop and all of them have the same story. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about real for real. Somebody calls you up and says, I really need a helping hand right now. Somebody calls you up and says, I'm in a bind. Can you help me out with my children? I'm in a bind. Can you help me out? I've got to go somewhere and I can't feed the person I'm supposed to go feed because now I've got to go somewhere else. Can you go feed them for me? That kind of stuff. True stuff where you're going to have to actually get up and it's going to cost you physically, mentally, emotionally to help take care of that person's need. I want you to don't raise your hands. I just want you to think about it. In the last year, when these things come upon you, when these things come to you, did you look at them as an opportunity to serve? Did you look at it as a chance to show God's love? Or did you look at it as a bother? Because if you looked at all of them like a bother, that you could not be bothered, let me tell you something, you've missed the boat. There's a whole lot of stuff going on. There's a whole lot of stuff happening all around us. You know, like this one night when Linda was staying at her mama's house. I left her at 9 o'clock and I said, maybe now I can go to Walmart and get through there quick. Bethany, I've got homework to do. We're going to go on home. We're going to run through Walmart real quick. And the first thing I did when I walked down the first aisle, there was somebody that said, Pastor! And I said, hey, how you doing? And I tried to walk away. And they come right behind me, so I stopped. And they said, look, I'm having a problem. Can I talk to you? Sure. Well, about 20 minutes later, I said, okay, I really need to go home. I've got homework to do, and I got this stuff I got to get done. They said, okay. So I walked down another aisle. And then I hear, Brother David! And I thought to myself, I said, Lord, now you know I got this homework to do. And you know I was going in here. Don't you think you make shields down number one? And they said, can we talk? Sure. 15 minutes later, I go down another aisle. And now it's one employee from Walmart. And he said, man, I'm having problems. Me and my wife, we got to talk. We got blah, 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 blah in the church, blah, blah, blah. And I said, okay, let's start talking. And before I knew it, there was about 6 or 7 Walmart employees standing around me. These were the late shift guys. And they were all asking questions. And they're all asking, how do we handle this? Blah, 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 blah. It was 11:30 before I got out of there. I said, Lord, you know I got homework to do. And he spoke to my heart and said, you just did it. So I went home, laid in the book, and I said, tomorrow, close it up, went to sleep. Because I just did my homework. My homework was to use the stuff I'm learning and also to help them with their home. So again, at the beginning, I'll be honest with you. I said, Lord, I didn't say it out loud. It's a bother. But I said, Lord, I got homework to do. You think I can just get in and get out? And sometimes I think when you tell God what you need and what you want, I think he giggles. Yeah, right. Sure. At any time, bro. Yeah, you do that, okay? I can hear him now. Yeah, David, you go ahead. We got this. But as I started moving through the aisles, And the thing started hitting, and I realized I weren't in here to get cereal for the next day, and I weren't in here to get milk, and I weren't in here to get some Pop-Tarts. I was in here to minister to these guys. Let me ask you a question. What motivates you? Are you motivated by true Christian love, agape love, the nails in the hand kind of love? Something that's going to cost you. Something that's going to cause pain for you and it's going to cost you. And you'll be misunderstood, but you still do it. When you get that kind of love in you, something special starts taking place. So first definition is of love. The second definition, of course, is for faithfulness. Watch this. Faithfulness is literally, watch this, keeping the faith, maintaining allegiance, being constant, loyal, showing a strong sense of duty or responsibility, conscientious, reliable. I love this in the Hebrew. I love it. I love it. A faithful copy. Are we a faithful copy of our Father? Are we a faithful copy of the Word? Are we a faithful copy of what Jesus would do? So you know, I was the other day, somebody was talking about, I heard somebody, they were getting on, I got to have the mind of Christ. I got to have the mind of Christ. I really got to have the mind of Christ. And they were going on and on about the mind of Christ. And the Lord just spoke to me and said, Philippians 2 and 5. So I spoke to the person and said, you want the mind of Christ? Here it is, Philippians 2 and 5. Let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus, who was in the form of God, but thought not robbery, although he was equal with him, to take on the form of a servant, become a man, and to die. You want the mind of Christ? That's the mind of Christ. That's what the Bible says. Again, love and faithfulness. Attitude, revolution number one. Revolution number two. Come on up here, buddy. You can do it. Revolution number two, or attitude number two. Trust in the Lord with all thy heart. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight, or he will direct your path. Here's it. I'll be quick now. Just a couple I won't stop and camp out at, but I'm going to move quick. Definition of trust. Ready? Firm belief in or confidence in integrity, reliability, justice of another person or thing, faith in reliance on the person or thing. I trust my God. I trust him more every day. I trust him because I see him doing things I never thought were imaginable. I think sometimes we don't get much in our faith walk because we don't expect much. We walk around with the attitude, well, if I don't, I even had a Christian friend in my family, or a Christian family member, tell me, if I don't expect much, then I won't be disappointed. So I just don't expect anything. And I said, that's a sad way to live. You got to expect something from God. You got to expect something in this life to live life to its fullest. So trust in the Lord with all your heart literally means, watch this, all your heart, get ready. If you got a pencil, you're taking notes, write this down. With all your heart means literally with all your will, your emotions, and your intellect. All your will, your emotions, and your intellect. If you want to be like the person that's in the deep and that where the waves don't affect them, in that concrete part of the water, that it stays the same temperature, it stays the same without the motion, you got to trust God with all your will, your emotions, your intellect. And then it says acknowledge him in all your ways. That word acknowledge is a pretty cool word too. Is that word acknowledge, watch this. To recognize the authority or claims of, to verify receipt of a letter, gift, favor, or payment. Acknowledge him. Acknowledge him. Acknowledge him in all you do. I walk around all the time saying, okay, God, it's me and you, and it's got to be mostly you, because if it's me, we in trouble. Amen? Amen. So now, number three, y'all, I told you it's not going to be long. There you go. I'll fly away. Here you go. Here's the hard one. This is my hardest one. Be not wise in your own eyes. Wow. Be not wise in your own eyes. simply as this: do not be wise in your own eyes, fear the Lord and shun evil, and this will bring health to your body and nourishment to your bones. Let me ask you a question. Do you pray about what your New Year's resolutions are going to be, or do you just say, well, you know what? I think I need to lose some weight this year. That's what I'm going to pray about. I think I need to do this. That's what I'm going to pray about. That's what I'm going to do for resolution. No. Do you talk to God? Do you ask Him? Show me, God, what you want me to do. Teach me. Teach me, God. You know, it's like this. Let me just say this. If you and your spouse are still arguing today over what you argued about 5 years ago, something hadn't been done right. I'm not talking about the category. I'm talking about the exact thing. If you and your wife, or you and your husband, or you and your child are arguing about the same thing today that you argued about 5 years ago, then something has not been done right. If you're still having the same issue today that you've been dealing with for the last 5 years, and you haven't gotten any resolution in that, here I'm here to tell you, you're over here at the top, you're on the waves, you're going back and forth, you need to get down deep so you don't have to fight that again. Because here's how God works. Until you get that one fixed, He's going to let it keep coming to you. Until you figure it out, He's going to let it keep coming to you, because He wants us to overcome. And also, did you ask God for guidance about what you need to work on? Or do you just think, well, I know what I need to work on. It's very obvious. I need to work on blah, blah, blah. No. Ask God. God, what do I need to work on? What is it? Husbands, I'm going to give you a little example. Have you ever sacrificed something for your wife and you knew it was a sacrifice? You knew how much it hurt or what the cost was. And then you showed it to them and they went, yeah. And you said, don't you realize how much I sacrificed and everything I did? And you just go, yeah, what I really wanted was. You ever heard that? Wives, have you ever done it to your husbands? I sacrificed it all. I got it all together. I got it right there. And you give it to them and they go, yeah, what I really wanted. The Lord showed me that a couple of years ago, and that revolutionized the way I handle my marriage and my children. Because now, instead of me, what I was doing is, I didn't even realize it, was, yes, I was sacrificing, but I was sacrificing according to my will. My ideas, not theirs. And so, it's okay if I sacrificed, and let's say, in the sacrifice, I gave them blah, blah, blah. But that's not what they needed, and that is not what they wanted. They needed over here, blah, blah, blah. And so you sacrificed all this work, but you know what? You wasted your time, you wasted your sacrifice, you wasted all that energy, because you did not meet their need. You met their perceived need. You got to meet their need the same way. God, you show me what I need to work on for me. You show me how to be a better me. Because obviously, I'm not getting it right when I try to do it my way. When I was 17, my favorite song Elvis used to sing, one of the last songs Elvis sang before he died on his records, was I Did It My Way. Y'all remember that song? I used to sing it all the time and said, I'm doing it my way. After I got saved, I realized I can't do it my way anymore. I got to do it His way. So, again, do not be wise in your own eyes. And it's hard, especially when you get older and you start getting this experience behind you. You know, how many's ever taken online college courses? On online college courses, especially if you're in something called Moodle, you'll find out that you interact with your classmates in every assignment. And when you interact with your classmates in every assignment, what they want you to do, especially in psychology, is they want you to put your own experiences, and they even give you things to do. And do this, and then write back how you did it. And then I want you to talk to two more of your classmates, and y'all interact. And it's amazing to me that when I'm interacting with a fellow pastor or just somebody my age that's been in this for years, and when I'm interacting with somebody that's younger and inexperienced, especially in crisis intervention, Wow. It was like they couldn't get enough. The young ones couldn't get enough. Tell me some more. And then some of the elders were going, yeah, that's pretty cool. Let me tell you about mine. And so you begin to think, well, you know what? I got this going on now. I got this. And we can mess it a country mile. Because we think we got it. We think we understand it. You got to stop. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Number four, there's only five. Number four. Ready? Y'all, somebody say yes. If you don't, we'll leave it right there. All right, ready? Attitude. Attitude number four. This is the hard one. My hardest one was not being wise in your own eyes. But here seems to be the hardest one for a lot of people. And I'm bringing it to you as New Year resolutions. Revolutions, because some of us need a revolution in this area very badly. Let me show it to you. It says, honor the Lord with your wealth. Wow. He says, I want to prosper you, but in order to prosper you, you have to honor me with your wealth. Verse 9 says, honor the Lord with your wealth, with the first fruits of all your crops. Then your barns will be filled to the overflowing, and your vats will brim over with new wine. What's he talking about? Very simple. You can sugarcoat it. You can put it any way you want to. You can blast it any way you want to put it up there. What it says is, I want you to start. If you're going to honor me with your wealth, I want you to start with tithing. Your first fruits. If you want me to bless what you're doing, then you're going to have to show me how bad. Watch this. I'm not going to stay here a long time. Watch this. When I start with my tithe, watch this. I'm making several declarations. All right? Ready? My first declaration is to God. I trust you. My second declaration is to Satan. I will not live by fear, but I'm going to live by faith. And the third declaration is to me, I refuse to depend on my wisdom and me alone. I'm going to depend on God. So when you're doing this, it's amazing what happens. And I'm going to give you just a few little things here just to show you about the attitude of honoring God with your wealth. Ready? Here we go. Real quick. I put a whole, whoa. Bethany, you're right. It did do it that time. It's that battery. Bethany told me, she said, this thing did it all by itself. She's right. Come on, baby. Light my fire. There we go. I just leave them up there. All right, ready? Because I'm a tither. And if y'all want these, I can give this to you. I can give a little sheet of paper to you that you can say at your own declaration. Because I am a tither and a giver, the windows of heaven are open to me. These are promises from God, too. This isn't my promises. This is what God promised me. The windows of heaven are open to me, and God rebukes the devourer for my sake. I am blessed financially and receive a blessing that I cannot contain. Malachi 3:10, Luke 6:38. Philippians 4:19, I do not worry about lack, knowing God supplies all my needs richly and abundantly. Therefore, I am able to sow freely and liberally. Third, I choose to sow cheerfully, generously, and bountifully, knowing that I will reap bountifully. I have in abundance every favor and earthly blessing. All my needs are met, and I abound in every good work. 2 Corinthians 9:6-8, Proverbs 11:24-25. Because I obey him, the Lord blesses everything I put my hands to. He grants me abundant prosperity. He makes me the head and not the tail, above and not beneath. The blessings of God are chasing me and overtaking me. Deuteronomy 28:1-14. And then finally, because God loves to see me prosper, I am believing him for jobs and better jobs, advancements, riches and bonuses, sales and commissions, good ideas, strategies, debts paid off, expenses decreased, blessings and increases, financial freedom and breakthroughs. That's not my words. That's just taking what God said and combining it all together. All this is what God said. And I'm putting it right here because he said, if you'll put me first, I will put you first. And I'm going to tell you what, I sure like being put first by him. Amen? Now, here's the last one. And then I'm going to ask for a few revolutions before We pray in the new year, and when this alarm goes off, I want y'all to shout with joy. Hear me? When that alarm goes off, I want you to holler amen to the top of your lungs. I want somebody to run by and think that somebody has dropped a whole bunch of snakes in here, and you're hollering trying to get away from them. All right? Get ready. Ready? Do not despise the Lord's discipline. It's another revolution. My son, do not despise the Lord's discipline and do not resent his rebuke, because the Lord disciplines those he loves as a father the son he delights in. So now, let me, here's what I want to show you about this thing now. Now again, are you going to make the changes that he's prompting you to make? I have to say this. Sometimes we feel God's discipline because he's trying to get us to step up to the plate, and we're not stepping up to the plate, and so he's prompting us. Again, people look at discipline in a kind of a strange way, kind of a morbid way, because let me tell you this for sure. I want you to think about it. Discipline is not a negative thing. If all you think of is discipline is going to the woodshed, then you've got it all wrong. I remember when I first went to work at Procter & Gamble, I'd been there for like, I think it was 6 months, maybe a year. And I remember it was hard getting used to shift work, and it was hard getting used to their way of doing things and going around. And there were some things I had to be qualified in before I could do my actual job. I had to learn shipping and or receiving and or prep. Everybody did, no matter who they were. Then I went into my specialty skill, which was electronics and computers and engineering. But I still had to learn this stuff first. And I remember the first couple of months I was spending all my time loading trucks, and it was so aggravating. And I was thinking, God, this is not what I signed up for. And the Lord just kept saying, just keep showing a good attitude, keep showing a good attitude. And as I went through all this disciplinary stuff, it was amazing, because one day I come in and they hand me a certificate. And I said, what's this for? And it was from the state of North Carolina. I don't even know where it's at now. I don't remember the exact words, but it was like, I have finished my North Carolina industrial apprenticeship. I didn't even know I was doing it. They didn't tell me, well, you're going to get a certificate for all this. But I was getting paid, and I was getting paid good. And when I first went to work there, the first few months, I was in school. I was in school. That's all I did was school. I went to school for 40 hours a week. That was it for the first 4 or 5 months. I got a certificate and all this stuff, blah, blah, blah. But then all of a sudden, I get thrown into this other stuff. And I'm going, wait a minute. This is not what I trained for. This is not what y'all told me I was going to be doing, blah, blah, blah. And they said, just chill. Everybody's got to learn it. Learn it. But it's amazing, although it was not pleasant and it was hurtful, it wound up being an amazing thing, because I looked at it as punishment. And then one day I was sitting there and I was watching these people that did it all the time. They did it. All they did was shipping and receiving. All they did was prep. That's it. That's all they did. That's it. And they were the happiest people. And I was sitting there pouting because I wanted to be doing electric. I wanted a meter in my hand. I wanted to be doing projects. And instead, I was doing shipping and receiving. I walked around for a couple of months, madder than fire. I hated going to work. I hated all this stuff. And then finally it hit me one day. Look how happy they are. And nobody's been mean to you. Aren't you paying your bills? Aren't they giving you the money they said they were going to give you? Aren't they doing what they said? Didn't they give you insurance? Blah, blah, blah. Didn't do all this stuff. And I know you're not doing what they hired you for. But they said you had to do this. It was part of your job description. Everybody, no matter what they did, had to learn this. And when I finally got that in my thick skull, I started enjoying my work. Because I saw it as punishment. But it was discipline. Discipline is nothing more than training. Is training, discipleship. How many want to be a disciple of Christ? If you want to be a disciple of Christ, guess what part of that root word for disciple is? Discipline. So there's things that you're going to do that you may not like doing. There's things you're going to do that you may wish you could do a different way. But discipline. So watch this. I was looking up and I was trying to figure out the best way to describe discipline. So watch this. And then we're going to close. Next time you feel like God's got you on the wood pile. Next time you feel like God's told you to go out and pick a switch. let me show you something. It's not quite like that. Here it goes. Scared you, didn't it? That's a coach. All right? So watch this. See? Ready? Come on, coach. There he is. All right. Next time you see this, I want you to think about coaching. God's coaching you. He's not beating you. He's coaching you. So watch this. Discipline. And get your Bibles out. We'll look this up. We'll read it while we're going along. Get your Bibles turned to Hebrews chapter 12. We'll read this as we go along. Hebrews chapter 12. We're going to talk about discipline. As a matter of fact, you can tell somebody you learn something better about discipline. Now you enjoy discipline. Because you look at it as a positive, not a negative. Are you ready? Discipline. Chapter 12, verse 5b. Ready? My son, you got to say amen. You got don't have it, say wait. All right. My son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked by him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. Watch this. Discipline is a sign of love. If God didn't love you, he wouldn't bother. How many has ever gone to your father and said, and mother and said, Mama, can I do this? Can I do that? And they would go, no. And I say, well, my friends can do it. My friends' parents said they can do it, but I can't. And they'd say, well, I'm not their parents. And I'll go, yeah, but how come I can't do it? And they said, that's because you're my son, and I expect you to live by a higher standard. I done it by DC and Daniel and Beth, and they go, how come we got to do this? How come it's us? And I go, because you're my children. And when people see my children, I want them to know that they live by a higher standard. And you can watch DC and Daniel and even and Beth, and you can watch all three of them. And I guarantee you, they'll look at him. Daniel, and last week I was working with Daniel at his house, and Daniel said, Daddy, I went to two different places. And as soon as I walked in the door, first off, they looked at me and said, you got to be David Linton's son. They said DC all the time. And then they said, you know what? But after they see how they act and react to things, they said, you've got to be David Linton's son because you act just like him. That can't be a good thing, can't be a bad thing. If God didn't love you, he would not bother with trying to make sure you did things right. God loves you just the way you are, but he loves us too much to let us stay that way. Wow. That's worth the price of admission right there. Discipline is a sign of love. Remember this. I can't say enough. If God didn't love you, he wouldn't bother. God loves you just the way we are, but he loves you too much to let you stay that way. Wow. I was out there working in the barn with Daniel. We're wiring it up, and here comes Anna Lane. Anna Lane was in her onesie. So she's in her onesie, and she comes walking out, and I don't know what she had on for her shoes. It was cold, and she come running. She was soft. She just knew Pawpaw was out there. And I see her step out of the garage, and she goes, Pawpaw! And she starts running, and Daniel said, you better get back in that house, and you ain't got a coat on, you ain't got shoes on. I said, but Daniel, weren't it cute? He says, no, Dad, it weren't cute. I said, okay. And so we're working along, and I hear Daniel again say, why did I tell you? And looked again, and she had put on Emery's shoes and put on Emery's coat, so she looked like a little dwarf. And she come running again. And Daniel said, don't you make me go back in there. And I said, but weren't she cute? He said, no, Dad. He said, you wouldn't let me do it. And I said, no, I wouldn't let you do it. He said, why are you going to let them do it? I said, I didn't let them. You did. He said, I didn't let them. Okay. All right. Number two. Now, has this been a sign of love? This is good stuff, isn't it? Isn't it? All right. Number two. Come on, baby. You can do it. Discipline is a sign of faith. Did you know that? Hebrews chapter 12, verse 10. For they verily for a few days chasten us after their own pleasure, but he for our profit, that we may be partakers of his holiness. Now, no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterwards it yieldeth the peaceful fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. Look, you discipline somebody not just because you love them, but because you believe in what they can become. I tell Bethany that all the time. I still tell my boys that you haven't even begun to see how far you can go. When things are going bad, I tell DC, because now DC's a business owner, and DC worked 100-something hours last week. He worked every day except for Christmas Day, and then he worked yesterday. And I told him, I said, DC says, Dad, sometimes this is killing me. And I said, well, let me ask you a question. He said, yeah. I said, didn't you say you wanted to run with the big dogs? He said, yeah, Dad, I did. I said, well, you got a choice to make, run with the big dogs or stay under the porch. He said, but Daddy, this is hard. I said, that's why some dogs stay under the porch. I said, the same stuff that you're having problems with today, a year from now will not be a problem to you. You'll be going to something else because God's allowing you to get the hard stuff out of the way first. You discipline somebody not just because you love them, but because you believe in what they can become. So I love them, and I know they can become better. Number three, discipline is a sign of relationship. Let's go back to 7 and 8. If you endure chastening, God dealeth with you as a son. But for what son is he whom the father chasteneth not? But if you be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then you are bastards and not sons. Be encouraged. It means that he believes in you. He loves you. He believes in you. And he's investing in the future harvest of greatness in your life. Therefore, strengthen your feeble arms and weak knees. Make level paths for your feet, so that the lame may not be disabled, but rather be healed. Hebrews chapter 12. Ready? Getting ready to thank you, Bethany. That was funny. We got 10 minutes before the new year kicks in for us. I don't want it to be long. Don't want it drawn out. Don't want to hear about all of that. I just want you quickly and deliberately. Quickly and deliberately, because we got 10 minutes. I want you, and we'll go around the room. I know it's in the normal Sunday morning, but that's okay, because remember, we're kind of putting in the New Year's Eve service. I want you, each person, to give me one or two of revolutions. Remember, resolution is a thought pattern. Revolution is commitment. It's an attitude. There's a difference. I want you to tell me what you are committed to seeing. And look, and if you say God hadn't really showed you yet, you're committed to checking God out and see what it is. But once he shows you, it's going to be fine. Here's a good one. Okay, I'm not sure what it is yet, but I do know I want to be a better person. I want to be a better Christian. I want to be a better father. I'm going to seek God for him to show me all the things I need to do. But I do know he's always telling me in his word to be that better Christian, to be that better servant, to be that better father. So whatever he shows me to do this year in order to be that, I plan on giving it my best shot to make it happen. That's how quick it can be. All right? Everybody ready to start? Who which side do you want to start on? Let's start on that side. Oh, yeah, everybody, this side's pointing over there, and that side. Okay. I think what we'll do. We'll start all the way in the back. Make it quick. All the way in the back and work your way up. This way. Look. Do like this. All right. Stephanie. Awesome. Amen. That's good stuff. Be a what? A patient person. You're not praying for patience, are you? Oh, that's funny. All right, Dudley. That's good. That's awesome. Okay, Autumn, you want to tell us what your revolution going to be? Okay, that's awesome. And you love a lot, so that's going to be cool. I can't even imagine you love it more. That'd be just so awesome. All right, Grandma. Excuse me, Christy. Okay. That's good. That's good stuff. Okay. He can do that. Patience and humility. He said, Lord, I want humility. I want more patience. Look, you want more patience. I can guarantee you everything goes crazy. I asked one time, I kept asking God for patience, and everything was going crazy. And I told somebody, I said, I was asking God for patience, and now everything's going crazy. And they said, well, isn't that what you asked for? So. That's awesome. All right, be a better person. Okay. That's awesome. Y'all are good. Yes. See, here's what we got to remember is the older people have really pulled the line. They've towed the line. And it's important that, and this is the way the Jews did it anyway, there was not a welfare system. There was not any kind of system for the elderly. What it was the youngers took care of them, their children, and the people took care of them. And we're raising a generation of millennials. I'm not saying everybody's millennial. When I say this is generic. I'm not saying this is everybody. But in the last week, I had to actually, when I went to a, I went somewhere, I went to pick up a pizza from my father-in-law, and I had to count my change back for the person behind the counter. And then I stopped at McDonald's on the way. Beth and I were somewhere, and I said, I just grabbed something from McDonald's on the way to our next assignment. And we stopped in, and I had to explain to the person at the drive-thru what was going on and how to order a quarter pounder with cheese. I kid you not. And when I got there, she was mad at me. And I had said nothing, honestly. And then I go to another place, a fast food place, and waited 20 minutes. And when I get there, they gave me the wrong order. And I said, I'm not trying to sound mean, but I've been here 20 minutes in this drive-thru. And no more Bojangles. It was actually the cookout. And so I'm 20 minutes in the drive-thru. And she finally says, well, you have to understand, some of our people didn't show up today. And then didn't even give my drink, and I drove off, and I said, what just happened? Couldn't they have said, we're sorry, they might be a little slow today because some of our people didn't come in and our managers aren't here yet, so could you please be patient with us? I'd have been patient, but that's what they told me, and got mad at me. And all I asked was, is there a problem? 20 minutes in the drive-thru window? Is there a problem? You know, and so again, that's been going, and it's not, it'd be one thing if it was just one place, but it's every place. The other day I ordered some spaghetti from one of the places for my in-laws, and Linda was coming through, and Linda said, I'll pick it up for you. And so I said, I want spaghetti. I want a family-sized spaghetti. They said, okay. And then I said, but I don't want the deluxe spaghetti. I want the regular spaghetti, family-sized regular spaghetti. I get there, and Linda goes in and says, it's going to be $6. She said, for the spaghetti my husband just ordered? I said, sure. And they gave her this little bitty thing. And she said, is that what my husband ordered? She said, sure. And so she comes to me and hands me this little bitty thing. She says, honey, I'm not sure if that's what you want or not. And I was busy counseling somebody, so I couldn't answer her. She was trying to call me, but I couldn't talk to her. I wasn't going to stop counseling to talk to her. She was going to say, honey, are you sure they got this right? When I told her, I said, I want a family-sized spaghetti. I said, but I don't want deluxe. I want regular spaghetti. She wrote down, he wants one serving of a regular-sized spaghetti. And I asked for family two or three times to make sure she understood that. I said, I'm not talking about a regular size. I said regular spaghetti in family size. And so, again, that's happening more and more everywhere you go. I pulled up to the drive-thru window the other day, a little while back, and Linda was driving. We were in a hurry trying to get somewhere. And so the lady did not even look out the drive-thru window. We pulled up, and the lady put her hand out like this and started doing like this while she's talking on her cell phone or something. And she's doing like this, and I watched Linda go. And she dropped the money, and part of it fell on the ground. Lady didn't say thank you, I'm sorry, nothing. Handed her the food and closed the window. So that's the millennial, okay? You pay me for showing up. Not for doing a good job, just for showing up. So get used to that. And what we got to do is when you get a chance to be a teachable moment, teach them. But don't make people mad, but just teach them. I've even called somebody to the counter before and said, have you been trained in this? And they go, what are you talking about? I said, has anybody ever trained you how to count change out? And they go, no, we just go by the machine. I said, what's that? Some machines break down. I said, I don't know. I said, it's obvious because the machine's down. You can't count it out. Let me show you how. And they go, oh, wow, thank you for showing me that. Yeah. Now, I tell you what I did the other day. This is mean. I went to this is over a scan of like a month. Stopped somewhere. I think it was like an Arby's. Stopped in and I said, I'd like to get, and Linda and I were in there. I said, I'd like to get two glasses of water along with our meal. We didn't want drinks of water. She said, okay. And I looked over at the girl, the millennials, and I said, they've got a sign saying we are more millennials than anybody else. The guy's on the door. So I walked in. I couldn't stand it. So I said, excuse me, ma'am. She says, yes, sir. I said, is this water decaffeinated? And she said, I don't know, sir. I have to ask somebody. And so she walks over and asks her manager, and her manager says, I'm not sure. I have to check on that for you. And so we go to eat, and I needed some sauce, so I go back to the counter. And I said, when I get back to the counter, and we're getting ready to have to pray, and we'll tell everybody else in a minute. She goes back to the counter, and I go back to the counter to get stuff, and everybody's gone. I said, where'd everybody go? She said, they're having a meeting in the back trying to decide if that water's decaffeinated or not. I kid you not. All right. Doug, you got 30 seconds. You hold on for a second. Awesome. Rest in the Lord. That doesn't mean not do anything. It means rest in Him, and He'll do the work for you. That's some awesome stuff. We're going to go to this side after, but we're getting ready. When you hear the alarm go off, I want you to make a bunch of noise. Here it goes. 8, 7, 6, 5, 4. Get ready. Stand to your feet. 2, 1. Stand to your feet. There. Glory! Yeah, glory! Now, everybody got a chance to, if you might not be awake at 12 o'clock tonight, so you can tell everybody you did yours at 12 o'clock today. You beat the Christmas rush. All right, you can sit back down. Let me get these, and then we're going to go. All right, y'all tell me. We got to listen to them. Your revolution. Amen. That's good. That's awesome. I like the way you said that. Awesome. Amen. Me too. Yes, Lord, yes. Awesome. That's awesome. That's right. That's the way to do it. That's right. Okay, let's come back to you. You'll be the last one. Are you, you get ready? Or you're still thinking. Okay. All right, young man. Your name is back there. Robertson. All right, Robertson. That's awesome. I like that. That's right. That's right. Okay. All right. That's right. Okay, that's good. Awesome stuff. All right, that's good. Awesome. That's awesome. Y'all, everybody said something great. I mean, it's just amazing. Y'all were all saying something that means something. You're not just, you know, picked them out of a hat. Okay. I was gonna join the Procrastinators Club, but I keep putting it off. Okay. Bethany. Did you just hear those five things? All right. Is anybody up there? I don't see anybody there. Okay. So it's back to you, young lady. That's good. That's good. And mine is, God, you show me and help me to do it. Because again, sometimes we think we got it together and we know what it is, and we can be so far off. And we can be so far off. And I learned that with kids and learned that with my wife, again, by giving gifts, something to me, but it didn't mean anything to them because they didn't need it or that's not what they were looking for. And so as I started watching and listening, then I gave them something that they needed, and it was awesome and very powerful. Same way with God. God, show me and then give me the wisdom and the strength to do it. Amen? Let's all stand up. Isn't this cool? We've already celebrated the new year, and we had a revolution. We didn't wait till 12 a.m. Amen. Yeah, that's right. Okay. Brother Billy, will you dismiss us in prayer, please?